Good morning, everybody, and good evening over there in India. Today we have Vivek here from the Balkans community. And without further ado, we'd love to hear about what your community does.
First of all, warm welcome to everyone. I'm really glad to Nacho Nacho and Andy for organizing this beautiful session, especially about community building, because, you know, post-COVID, I think so, there was a huge shift in the way professionals work. And I think so that was a very pivotal time because I think so the world moved 5 years ahead in terms of technology and how people adapt. And, so let me just give you a little bit of backdrop, how it all started and why the community exists, so on and so forth. So, you know, being a remote worker, I was working with US-based clients, European clients, and it was a very common problem that I used to say, since I don't go to office, where is my support network? Obviously, you have Slack and spaces like that, but there are lots of professionals, freelancers, solo entrepreneurs, bootstrapping entrepreneurs who needed this support system. And that's where, like, you know, communities come into place, where people can just come ask questions and, you know, get feedback on the products that they're building. And obviously, there are so many platforms. If you go out in the market and see, like, for example, Reddit. Reddit is just a community of so many different niches, but that's what, you know, it obviously was accelerated a lot during COVID. And fast forward like 2 years, I was talking to Belkin CEO and we started discussing the same problem, and he was on page and we decided that, okay, let's do this thing together. And and back then, you know, the common idea was, I used to be a bootstrapping entrepreneur. And he himself is building lots of B2B SaaS products. And the idea was that let's build a platform where we all can just support each other. The idea was that since when you're building up a startup, there are so many questions, there are so many things that you can just ask and learn. Like, for example, how to do invoicing, you know, which bank to choose when you're doing the payment structure, so on and so forth. You know? Absolutely. Like, for example, which kind of contracts to negotiate, you know, and these are the things, it looks intuitive from the outside, but when you actually go in the details, you see that you find yourself that, okay, for example, when you start working in the European Union, how to define those terms and conditions, because those things will come back to you because there are certain special cases which get you in trouble. So, you know, those were the small little things that, being an entrepreneur myself, I used to face this thing. Vlad understood this thing as well. And this was the common idea that let's build up a space where we all can just support each other in a genuine way. And, you know, back then, even I was like, this looks like such a cool project to work on. Let's see. And fast forward 2 years ahead, we are 3,000 plus strong. And it's been an amazing experience, you know, because you, on my day-to-day basis, I get to interact with so many founders, B2B professionals, and the idea is just to help, which in itself is a huge rewarding experience.
Yeah, I would love to learn more about what you guys offer. I mean, you guys have exploded over the last few years. I know you guys kind of focus more on the sales and marketing professionals. Can you maybe expand on, you know, who should be joining your community and what they expect to gain out of it, besides, you know, obviously talking about a lot of great ideas and idea sharing and you know, helping each other solve common problems that they might not necessarily know how to solve themselves.
Absolutely. So that's a good question. So initially the idea always was, because I used to, like, you know, work on so many SaaS projects, B2B mainly, that's where I was niche towards. So when I started, this was the common thing that I was, that this is how I can help the community members, be it like any problem that you're facing related to startups and so on and so forth. But as the team grew, as, like, you know, other community managers like Andre came on board, we could help out, like, almost like, you know, the diversified branch of B2B. So nowadays we are catering to mainly CEOs, founders, and B2B professionals. And the idea is that we have dedicated channels within the community where, you know, topic experts, subject matter experts are there. There are leaders within the community who try to help you out, be it like, you know, any niche topic, how, like, for example, how to close big B2B deals, you know, enterprise deals, you know, that in itself is a very niche topic where you need experienced leaders to talk, because not everyone can just go into it, be it from how shall I make sure that I'm reaching out using cold email outreach to these big enterprise companies, to how should I, you know, make sure that I'm taking care of this entire long sales cycle, and so on and so forth. So we have different channels within the community. And in order to join, people can simply go to our website, apply from there. There's a form out there, and I generally reach out to them, have 1 week one calls, and then try to onboard them into the community.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, especially if you get to know your members joining, it's highly curated. That's great that you guys are doing that.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to add this thing, because it's not just about us. There's one thing that having a big community is one thing, but how to make sure that whoever is joining the community, they feel engaged, because there's this huge aspect where people generally focus on metrics like growth numbers, that, hey, yeah, we want to grow like 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. But, you know, community in essence is people. You need to make them feel inclusive. You need to tell them that, hey, if you're having a startup, these are how the community can help your startup grow. You know, in a way where you're not just asking them, hey, we can help you with promotion and all. It's like building this inclusive, because as a founder, you're juggling a million things, you know. Like, for example, an employee just going on a sudden vacation, and you have to fill in that, how to do that. So there are so many small little things. And as a community, you know, moderators, leaders, it's our job to make them that, hey, we are here to help you, be it right from hiring, or be it like, you know, any nitty-gritty details. Or sometimes it can just be like, you know, having a support system where like 5-6 founders come together, just support each other, and, you know, share each other failures. Like, we used to have certain events like fuck up nights within the community, where the idea was that, hey, we'll try to just support each other by sharing that, okay, we ran a campaign, it was not so great, but it used to be like a huge success among the founders within the community. So these are some of the ways, like, you know, you can imagine.
Yeah, people love to, you know, real people love to talk about their failures more than their successes, even, because I feel like the failures tell you a lot more from that. And building a community where you could actually share those, you know, those inner details, I guess, without, you know, fear of, you know, saying that. Yeah, a lot of people are kind of scared to share their downsides. But if you feel like you're in a comfortable environment, and you could really share that, you actually can grow together and really learn from each other's failures and actually open up about it. I think it's far more powerful to have those types of conversations.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and it is something like, you know, you generally learn this thing over the course, that people are just sharing their successes.
Yeah.
They're like, for example, I remember there were like a few years ago, I came across this this idea. It was over Indie Hackers. Like, again, one of the communities that I'm part of, great community of solopreneurs and bootstrapping founders. I found this thing over there that, you know, there was this idea. I don't remember the exact name. He was somewhere from Peru, I guess. And he was basically talking to founders about their failures, who basically failed at their startups. I'll share the link later, but it's an amazing website. You know, almost majority of the founders that I know have pretty much read the blogs that this guy has written. And the idea was that he was interviewing all the founders who could not make it. And you can just learn so much from it, you know, because when people are succeeding, like, whatever they say becomes a gospel that people just talk about, like, you know, that they are growing. But again, there is a place for this as well, that, you know, that you can always learn from other founders that, okay, for example, personally for me, it was hiring. When I started my own agency, you know, in 2020, hiring was something I struggled so much, because, you know, I had few employers, they left me in the middle, like, you know, in the middle of the contract. And I was like, damn, this is such a stressful thing. I need to take care of execution, sales, marketing, and now the employees. So this was something I shared. And then, like, you know, another founder came on board. He shared his own insights, and we grew from there. And that's how this idea started, that let's try to have those inclusive nights within the community where the founders can just support each other. And obviously, like, you know, once that trusted space is built, it allows this, like, you know, business collaboration to happen. And where business collaboration is happening, automatically, you know, money is an aspect of it. And this is how you build up something sustainable, where people are actually joining by a common mission, but at the same time, you know, a business collaboration is happening as well.
And what better way to join the community than to meet the founder of it, you know, and curate the community one by one, so everybody's actively engaged. I guess, why is it important to build community? I know everybody wants to do it, but, you know, maybe why should brands, you know, think about building their own community, and how do they go about doing so?
Absolutely. This is actually a good question because, you know, especially like, you know, I started with this reference of COVID is because of this thing that, like, for example, myself, my entire team is based out in the US. I have never met them. It's just Zoom calls and through that. And for me, it was very much like, obviously, there is a space over Slack. We have a workspace. But the thing is that I wanted more. Like, you just miss going to the office. And that's where that was the common ground, I think, so that people who are working exclusively remotely, who don't go to offices. And so because human beings are social beings, you need a place where you can just network, be more free, express your thoughts, so on and so forth. So that's where communities come into place. I think so. And then there is this thing, you know, that why brands should build it. So first of all, communities allow this thing to happen where, like, you know, it acts like an echo chamber. Like, for example, let's not go just about our community. Like, for example, one of my first interactions with community was basically over Facebook groups. I was part of a Facebook group. It was, I think Lemlist was the Facebook group. Yep. And I joined. I did not know. I had no clue about Lemlist, truth be told. I was just intrigued by. I had some SaaS related questions that I wanted some expert opinions on. Mm-hmm. I went there. I saw discussions. Amazing discussions were taking place in that group. And then it just happened that okay, some guys are recommending me a tool. That okay, if you're having this problem, check this tool out. If you're having this problem, check this tool out. And you know, since I'm a marketer myself, I understand that marketers have pretty much ruined the Google search. You know,
they're always games, so, you know,
absolutely. Like, you know, since you work in marketing as well, you can understand this thing that yeah. Nowadays you are pretty much tricking the algorithm into that first ranking or the first page on Google. Yeah. So I was aware of this thing because I had lots of SEO friends. So I was a bit apprehensive that, okay, I want some solution that actually helped me. Yeah. And, you know, in communities, the thing is that whatever recommendations you get, you don't get from some search engine or some hack. It's directly coming from people. And word of mouth marketing is the best form of marketing, you know. For example, if I'm facing a problem and Andy recommends me a tool, there's 90%+ chance that I will check that tool out because it was recommended by a friend of mine. So, you know, this is how communities grow. Like, you have this thing and, you know, obviously there are pros and cons. There will be some people who are actually talking negative. There will be people who are like fans of your product. But this allows that humans actually see pros and cons in as they are, and it allows them to make a better decision. If your product is genuinely good and if you have a community, it will allow you to like grow organically in a way that whoever tries your product, they will naturally become your fans. You know, yeah. And it allows you to share feedback cycles as well that, hey, if you have anything, just reach out to us right over this channel, so on and so forth. You need to enable these things, but these are one of the few ways why every company should think of, you know, having a community, especially like moving ahead, because, you know, our economy is moving towards digital economy and everyone knows that this is the future. This is the present and this will keep on growing from here. So I think so. It's a very intuitive decision that every company should focus on in some form of community. It doesn't need to be like, you know, Slack, WhatsApp, Telegram. The idea is that believe in communities because people, where people are together, business will happen, you know.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, some of the main themes I'm hearing here is, you know, trust is very important, that the community members trust each other. They feel like a sense of cohesiveness. Inclusivity, people feel welcome to, you know, share their opinions, ask for answers, rely on the answers, even going back to the trust, aspect as well. And then some sort of a common interest, right? It could be your product. It could be, you know, even more powerfully, the problem that you're all trying to solve together, right? So it's not, a lot of times marketers and product owners think in terms of trying to sell their product and make the community just about that. But you got to think about deeper, like, why do people even use a product in the first place? So it might be better to kind of, you know, build a community around that. And your product just happens to be an extension of the problem they're trying to solve, but it's not, you know, the core reason why they're there.
Absolutely. I actually 100% agree with this thing. You know, I think so. The mission is the core aspect of it. You need to have, see, let's be honest. every like 90% of communities close within 2 years. Like, for example, the Limitless community that I joined, it's a closed community now. Like, the group is dead. And I'm talking about a unicorn. It's a $1 billion plus company. Wow. And because it requires lots of effort, so that's where mission statement should be very clear. That if your mission is, once the mission is defined, like, for example, I wanted to create a space where people feel trusted. People feel that, okay, all the individuals are vetted. I personally used to check them out that, hey, having 1v1 calls, seeing that if the goals are aligned or not, so on and so forth. So absolutely. But the first thing is having a very core mission and then trying to create a space, because, you know, mission will enable that, you know, you define your value propositions around it. Like, okay, like, for example, my goal is that I want to create a trusted space. How do I make sure that things are trusted? You need to have their social profiles. Every member should have a LinkedIn profile or a Twitter profile, you know, because this adds to that extension of trust.
Yeah.
If, for example, and then, like, you know, there are obviously steps through which you need to enable that these conversations are happening. You need to introduce people, because people are naturally hesitant. Not everybody is like, they will go on and say that, hey, I'm this. Obviously, people are very much welcome when they join communities with this idea, but people are generally reserved. So as a community leader, it's your job to make sure that people are much more welcome. People feel that, okay, what help do you need? Just let us know. And we'll try to make sure that we are trying to at least assist you in making those things happen.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do that on scale. That's another problem that pretty much all the community leaders are trying to define. But at the same time, you know, the main core concept is always having a very strong mission.
Yeah.
Because mission will bring people together. You can define your entire value propositions around it, and you can grow from there, because value propositions will make sure that rituals are being formed around that.
Yeah.
And rituals are there, people will naturally start coming to you again and again, again and again. And that's how you grow.
Yep. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, what you guys are doing really well, you know, from my experience with the community, actually, is that you guys do a really good job onboarding, right? And even as you scale, I think it comes back to mission, core purpose, like you mentioned, which is important throughout community building. But what you guys do really well, and, you know, companies might lose control of at some point at scale, but you guys have done a really good job onboarding. You ensure people that are introduced to the community. They even go into the Slack group. You encourage people to kind of post about who they are, what they can do for others. And, you know, starting that kind of dialogue and getting that introduction going between members, I think is really key to, you know, kind of making them feel like they're inclusive into that community. And I think you guys have done a really good job at that. And I think, you know, other communities could emulate that as well.
Thank you very much. I think so. Everyone should, because, you know, focusing on vague metrics like growth numbers, like, what's the use of 50,000 plus members if only 100 people are active? Yeah, I'm part of this community. It's a paid community. I'm forgetting its name, but it's mainly for digital marketers. They have something like 100 plus members. And and the idea is that everybody is active there.
Yeah.
Realize. And that's the main thing. Like, and their focus is that they don't want to grow more than 100 members. Yeah. And obviously, because, see, the thing is that this is something that everybody should realize, that don't focus on those numbers. Yes, it's look cool when you see that, oh, wow, yeah, this is 10,000 plus members community. But it's more about how much, like, as they say in SaaS as well, retention is the king. That you want to make sure that you have created that entire system where people are feeling inclusive. They are feeling that, okay, my questions are being answered. Like, this used to be a problem initially when I started, that suppose a business person is asking a question within the community, and probably people are not willing to help each other out. And that's where, like, you know, as a leader, it was my responsibility that, okay, I can add this thing from my experience. And once you start leading that, okay, I'm doing it, naturally people will start following your steps. This is how it goes, like, you know. So generally, this is how it should be done, that you have to lead the way. You have to show that, okay, this is how it's done. And if you keep doing it, if your interests are genuine, that's why I say, you know, your mission has to be something that's coming from deep within you. That not everybody is capable of doing that. Many people are a bit hesitant in coming out in public. They will do all the good job in the back end, but when it comes to leading out in the public, people are a bit reserved, you know. So that's why even in real life, if you see, like, there are some people out there who are naturally community builders. They will make sure that there is a good group of people always surrounding them, so on and so forth. So it all comes down to this thing as well, that you need to make sure that there is a system in place, there is a common mission that binds everything together. And at the same time, you know, scaling is one thing, but each member, at least like majority of members, feel welcomed. How you do it, it's totally your call. 1v1 calls, I don't think so it's possible if you're trying to scale on a huge number. But at the same time, if you're not doing that, there are chances are probably you won't be able to retain them. So it's a balance that you have to maintain.
And I think everybody can do that, at least initially, right? You know, just, you know, the core initial community really sets the tone for everything that falls on after that. So, you know, kind of a good hack would be, you know, maybe you're a little bit more hands-on. You know, there's a saying, do things that don't scale. You know, maybe, you know, really get to know the people in your community that's building the base of it. Then, you know, as you scale, that could become a little bit, you know, a little bit less hands-on, if you will. But then the mission kind of ties people back together. Once they come in, they see other community members behaving in a certain way, they'll behave the same way as well and just kind of, you know, join into the community accordingly. We have
100%. 100% agree with that, Andy, because this is the basic thing. Like, you know, focus on making sure that initial members, at least like you have this group of like 1,500 people that are like these foundation pillars of the community, that even if you're not there, if a question is being asked, they take this responsibility that, okay, let me help this guy out. And, you know, you grow from there, because naturally this energy just rubs off on the new members as well. And everybody starts feeling this inclusiveness.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. So we have a question from the community, actually. Cigar asks, what about regulation or moderation of the community? Obviously, some people get a little too excited or, you know, might post something that you might not necessarily want to your community, or, you know, perhaps members might not get along for whatever reason, arguing about politics in a place where you should be talking about business. what are your recommendations for community moderation to make sure ensuring
It's a constant work, you know, it's a constant work. Like, you have to be on the vigil, and especially like if you're working across the globe, if you're having members from across the globe, probably in 24 hour cycle, you will see that there are some members. See, the thing is that, you know, that's the main reason why. Scaling at what cost? This is something that everybody should ask, because if you're bringing, like, for example, 100 new members each week, it generally happens that a certain tiny percentage, even though because they are marketers, you know, marketers have this tendency, as you say, hacking, you know, this is a huge problem, because personally, I'm a growth hacker as well. But at the same time, you know, each community has its own language. You know, you need to learn that thing. You need to stay out there and understand that, okay, this is how the community is behaving. This is how the community, like, for example, there are guys out there who wants a feedback, they drop their link. But they do it in such a way that you feel that, okay, this is completely genuine post, let's leave it there. But then there are guys out there, they just come and drop the link. Nothing else, just a bland link. Like, what am I supposed to do out there? You know? So it, obviously, it's a constant thing. That's why I say that community moderators are important. Community managers become the basic fundamental block of having a sustainable community, because nobody wants to be a part of a group that's spamming. So it's something like, you know, and there are, it's not just about posting. There are some guys who go sending unsolicited DMs, you know. So even that's a challenge. So you need to be constantly like, make sure that you're reaching out to people that, hey, if you see that anybody is spamming, please report back to us. It was a problem initially, like last year we suffered a lot from it.
Especially getting together, everybody's trying to promote themselves.
Absolutely. And luckily, like, you know, we identified them that, okay, this is the core set of personas that are like, you know, they have, we noticed that majority of spam, like 80-90% of the spam is coming from this set of users. So we completely like cut them off, because lots of work, hard work goes into like, you know, creating a community where people are actually collaborating. And these acts as like useless noise, which nobody wants.
Yeah, and a few people can destroy it for the rest of everyone. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So like, you know, it's a constant process though. Like even if people are not spamming, you need to redirect them that I understand that they are launching a product. They want to talk about their product. But the best way is that, you know, you create an event together. Like, for example, if you want to speak, let me help you, but at least ask for help before like just going ahead and like, you know, deciding that I'll spam.
Yeah, the best way to solicit, you know, ultimately even promoting yourself is to ask for a question, ask for help, start a conversation about something, right? Because on those conversations, even if you're trying to get an answer to help yourself, you're generating discussion and conversation.
Yes.
People engage and gets people talking about maybe even their own problems. And then together you can, you know, kind of collaboratively work to like help each other out. And that's the essence of community, right? I mean, you still get your question answered. You get your brand out there, you know, invariably. But you also create value and discussion that actually helps other people get their questions answered too. So
exactly. You know, once you understand this core thing that rather than just discussing, keeping it about your, you know, your business, talk about the problem, just discuss the problem. Naturally, because you're solving that problem, your business will come into it. You know, if you just understand the simple facet, I think Reddit can be a great avenue, a great channel as well. And this is the main reason why, you know, B2B businesses struggle so much that they don't think of Reddit as a channel for their business. It's because of this thing. People don't think that discuss the problem itself. Naturally, your solution will be recommended probably by someone else if you're good at what you do. But like you said, once you start discussing the problem, probably like even you will learn things that, okay, the customer is thinking this way, you know? So I totally agree. This is the way to go. And naturally, I think so the best way is just ask for help. I think so you'll be surprised once you ask for help, who comes out to help you. I remember, you know, back in 2016, I was just getting started on the internet. And I asked the Indie Hackers community, like, you know, I was working on a project. Somehow the email system that was built, it was started sending emails again and again and again. And like, I saw that I have sent like 5 times the same copy to all the users. And I was panicking because it was late in the night. I was the only developer awake. And, you know, I reached out to Indie Hackers community that, guys, please help me. If you don't, probably by the morning, by the time developers are awake, all the hard work of 6 months is gone. And, you know, a guy from Belgium reached out to me. We have a call. He literally have a call and we discuss for 90 minutes. He shows me how to solve it. And this is the power of community, that once you ask out for help, you're just surprised who out there over the internet is ready to help you. So ask out for help, and this is the most natural way to progress.
That's a great point. And I guess what platforms would you recommend? We were talking about Reddit, but is there like embeddable platforms? Obviously, a lot of people are moving to Slack for community building. I know you guys have a, you know, great Slack group. I definitely recommend it for anybody listening today. Is there any other platforms you'd recommend, or maybe you could touch on why you guys chose Slack?
Absolutely. So see, it all boils down to what sort of a community you want to build and what your vision for the community is. Like, for example, I'm part of this community as well, where CMOs are there, you know, and it's just a community of like 30 people. Mm-hmm. So and they don't want to increase it. It's a very small community, but very active community. And then there are communities where like thousands of members are there. You know, so both has its own pros and cons, but it all boils down to what vision you have, what sort of community you want to build. Generally, if you want to build a personal community where you'll be talking about like, you know, lots of personal stuff, WhatsApp is a very handy place to build a community as well. But generally, there are users like me who find WhatsApp a bit privacy focused, like I don't want some corporate messages to be there. So if you want to build a professional community, obviously, Slack is a very good place because lots of businesses are there. It's easy. They have their own app and it has lots of benefits. Notifications are an issue with Slack, that once you reach a certain level, generally people avoid notification from Slack altogether. And then you face this issue that how will you remind people that, hey, retention becomes a problem. Discord is good, but Discord is more focused towards programmers, gamers. So if you're into that niche, it's much more there. Lots of automation options are there. So it's a very solid platform. Lots of people are already using it. But I think so if your target audience is no code and less tech people, like, you know, not who are not that much technically proficient, then Discord is not a great platform there. But if they're software developers, gamers, I think so, it's a great platform. Telegram groups are very famous as well. Like, I'm part of several communities there. In fact, Peter Levels shifted from Slack. Peter Levels is like a very famous name in startup community. So he shifted from Slack to Telegram. So Telegram is really good as well. Telegram, again, is banned in some countries. That's some problem. But they have a beautiful interface. Like, somehow, like, it's much more better than WhatsApp. So highly recommend checking Telegram out as well. It's a very good place to build communities. And especially because Telegram also allows you to automate lots of stuff. So, like, you know, lots of possibilities are there. But again, it all boils down to which kind of audience you want to cater to.
Yeah.
You know, please say.
Definitely. There's some platforms you can embed to yourself as well. Like, we have Amity, for instance, in our marketplace as well. They allow to have like an embeddable social product on your website. So yeah, there's great free options out there. Slack, Telegram, those are great options. And then there's also options where you could kind of build your own, you know.
Yeah, so Circle has been making lots of waves as well. I see that. I'm part of lots of communities over Circle as well. But again, you know, one thing I have definitely realized, this thing, it all boils down to make it easy for people to come there. Yeah. Like, you know, like, often sometimes, again, like, it's something even I struggle with. Like, for example, if people are not, there are people who become engaged in the community, then they reach out after a couple of weeks over LinkedIn that, hey, Vivek, can you just share what's the link to your community?
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to make sure that it's easy for them to access. And that is something that you always have to do, that at least make sure that people are able to access it in as easy as possible. And if you can do that, that's the main reason why. The main reason why Slack, Telegram, and all the services that we're mentioning, they're popular because they have their own app, you know. And so definitely it makes it easy to, like, you know, converse, so on and so forth. So, but the main thing is accessibility. If you can just make sure that you have a platform that's easily accessible, lots of possibilities can come from there.
Definitely. So I guess what's next for Belkins? What are you guys going to be working on next? And tell us more, you know, where people can learn more about you guys. I know we have a link here as well, but and why they should join your community as well.
Absolutely.
Went over already.
So as you said at the start, like, I mentioned it, majority of communities within 2 years, they close down because of this fact that community building is actually hard. It's a slow process. At the same time, you have to grow one by one. Yeah. You know, there is no other hack to it. If you're not getting on a call with each and every person, it gets difficult to retain them. Yeah. So, you know, a huge aspect for us is to become sustainable this year, that by the end of 2024, we want to break even at least, so that, you know, we can envision a future where we can say that, hey, community is standing on its own. There is no... Belkins have been very kind that they have been, like, you know, supporting us from the very start. And yeah, like, just shout out to Vlad, that the amazing entrepreneur that he is. He was always amazingly supportive. Somehow, like, he manages so many businesses and yet he is active in the community. So you can pretty much imagine. Yes. So as you already know, like, you already know Vlad. So yeah, he's amazing at what he do. I don't know where he finds all this energy from. But for the rest of 2024, we just want to make sure that the community becomes self-sustainable, that so that, you know, we can envision a future where the community can exist. We can continue to serve all the amazing members that we have. We already have some amazing plans and we are working on it. Still, it's something that we are testing out, how we can make sure that we can reach that number. But that's the goal for 2024, that we want to make sure that the community is self-sustainable. And so just looking out for companies to work with, how we can make sure that, you know, there's a good collaboration happening between companies and the members, and making sure that, you know, actually the community is serving its purpose, that we're helping business collaboration to happen. So really looking forward to that, but because that in itself is a very interesting aspect, how we can make sure that this thing is as smooth as possible, whereas you are becoming highly niched and at the same time, you know, serving people's interest.
Well, I think you guys' heart is in the right place. And I think any founder, whether it be a community or somebody building a product to solve people's problems, if they really, you know, truly in their heart believe in the mission, you know, they're their actions will kind of follow their thoughts and their, you know, their motives, right? So I think you guys' heart is in the right place. And I think your mission is very clear for what you guys want to accomplish. And I think the value that you guys are creating as a community around that, you know, kind of shows for itself. So, you know, definitely recommend any, you know, sales marketing professionals now, you know, especially executives out there that want to be a part of a community where, you know, they actually feel inclusive and actually get answers and support for what they're looking for. You even get to meet Vivek is probably as part of the onboarding, or one of his great team members, Andre. They have a great group over there. So highly recommend working with these guys. And, you know, we're proud to be a partner of Belkins. So, you know, we're looking forward to continuing to work with you guys. If anybody's interested in learning more about Belkins, you can go to BLKNS.co, you know, sign up today and, you know, get to meet the team over there and go from there.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with Nacho Nacho. And yes, looking forward to a continued collaboration. And again, thank you very much for the beautiful session.
Thanks. You too, bud. Yeah, sorry, we ran a little over.